And now we're reading from the fifth chapter of the Quran. When the disciples said, "Jesus, son of Mary, can your Lord send down a feast to us from heaven?" He said, "Beware of God if you are true believers." They said, "We wish to eat from it, to have our hearts reassured, to know that you have told us the truth and to be witnesses of it." Jesus, son of Mary, said, "Lord, send down to us a feast from heaven so that we can have a festival, the first and last of us, and a sign from you. Provide for us. You are the best provider." God said, "I will send it down to you, but anyone who disbelieves after this will be punished with a punishment that I will not inflict on anyone else in the world." And now we're reading from 2 Kings, 4th chapter. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord.
Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sail, hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sail, hallelujah. Jordan's river is deep and wide, hallelujah. I've got home on the other side, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael's boat is a music boat, hallelujah. Michael's boat is a music boat, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. The trumpets sound the jubilee, hallelujah. The trumpets sound for you and me, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah.
And now we're reading from the sixth chapter of John. After these events, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd was following him because they wanted to see the signs he was performing for the sick. Jesus climbed up the mountain, and he sat there with his disciples. It was about time for the Jewish festival of Passover. Jesus looks up and sees a huge crowd behind him. And he says to Philip, "Where are you going to buy enough bread to feed these people?" He was saying this to test him, you see. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. 200 denarii wouldn't buy enough bread for everyone to have a bite, Philip said. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, "There's a kid here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what does that amount to for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." They were in a grassy place. So they sat down. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and passed them around to the people sitting there, along with the fish, and all of them had as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he says to his disciples, "Gather up the leftovers so that nothing goes to waste." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with scraps from the 5 barley loaves from what was left over. When these folks saw the sign he had performed, they were saying, "This has to be a prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus perceived that they were about to come and force him to be king, so he retreated once again to the mountain all by himself. As evening approached, his disciples went down to the sea. They boarded a boat and were trying to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already gotten dark, and Jesus still had not joined them. A strong wind began to blow, and the sea was getting rough. When they had rowed about 3 to 4 miles, they catch sight of Jesus walking on the sea and coming toward the boat. They were frightened, but he says to them, "Don't be afraid, it's me." Then they would have taken him on board, but the boat instantly arrived at the shore that they had been making for. The next day, the crowd found him on the other side of the sea and asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get there?" Jesus replied, "Let me tell you this. You're not looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you witnessed the signs. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that lasts, food for unending life, which the human one will give you. On him, God the Father has put the stamp of approval."
You're looking for me only because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you witnessed signs. Ouch. That smarts. But that is the occupational hazard of those who deal in miraculous demonstrations. People like the magic. They like the magic lunch, but they don't stay for the message. They eat the bread, but don't understand the sign. Now, this miracle of Jesus is found in all 4 Gospels. It actually occurs 6 times in the 4 Gospels, twice in a couple of the Gospels. At one time, Jesus feeds 5,000 men plus women and children, has 12 baskets left over. At another time, he fed 4,000 men plus women and children and had 7 baskets left over. Same story, just a few verses apart. The disciples still don't get it. You get the feeling that Jesus could have done that every day, and still people, including his closest disciples, would have missed the sign. The Quran spells it out in its version of the miraculous feast. In this version, the disciples want proof. And so Jesus makes the request on their behalf for a feast from heaven, and then God offers the dire warning. "I'll send it down to you, but anyone who disbelieves after this will be punished with a punishment I will not inflict on anyone else in the world. Give us a sign." But God knows, and Jesus knows, that for many, the sign will not be seen. Or what is seen will not be seen as a sign. Or the sign that was seen will be forgotten when the need or the desire for bread overtakes our capacity to witness to what is true. You're looking for me only because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you witnessed signs. However, it isn't the case that everyone misses the sign. It isn't the case that everyone is all about the bread and disregards the point. It's just that most people do, at least for now. And this isn't me talking. This is the message of Scripture. "Narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, and few there be who find it." Gratefully, those who do find it are not stingy with it. Those throughout history who have been awake to the signs have in turn shared what they have seen. Jesus, of course, and Muhammad were generous with what they observed and became in themselves reed flutes for the divine music to flow through them. And not only them, not only those two prophets, but others too have been awakened to the beauty of this world, to the incredible violence against it, to the creative force deep within each of us, and the unleashing of that force towards transformation of goodness and beauty. There are those who witnessed signs and who witnessed signs as signs and become warriors. Those are the spiritual guides. Those are the spiritual leaders. They invite us and they summon us to join in a spiritual quest. Like the prophets of old, Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, come to me, listen that you may live. A few weeks ago, I discovered independent journalist Caitlin Johnstone, and she wrote a little book called Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers. And one of her books is called, or one of her poems is called Gaps. I'm going to share this part of this poem with you. When the tides rise, while Skullface late-night talk show hosts try to make neoliberalism funny, while the war drums of the bastards vibrate the air, remember, you are supported by the emptiness between the atoms, by the emptiness between the stars, by the emptiness between your thoughts, by the emptiness which surrounds your perception. The end has always been as nigh as nigh gets. Death was lounging between your electrons from the moment you were conceived. We who look with both eyes see the gargoyles, but we also see the emptiness. We recline against that space between, cradled in the heart of the timeless. So when the TV is lying and your friends are all blind, when they call your light madness and strike your diamond from your hands, when Grandmother Tree confesses that she is worried about the water, take heart. Birds of all colors roar out of the darkness in each moment, join together to form all this, then fly off. The needle-toothed bastards can't touch your magic, cannot know the emptiness, cannot see the birds. A few howling primates gibbering about finance on a spinning rock that is hurtling through blackness in a universe they do not understand. They do not run this show. They do not lead this dance. There is a castle at the center of two forest lungs with a dead angel on a swing made of ivy. Eel ogres hurl cars in the gaps of your neurons and between your electrons, owls soar. What I'm trying to say, in my bumbling way, is that there are so many hiding spaces. There are miracles lurking in the gaps of all things, and so little of life is yet known. Caitlin Johnson, Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers. You know, Jesus didn't make miracles in the desert just for the show. He was interested in saving the world. He wanted to wake people up, and he knew that not everyone would go with him. Most would reject him. They might stay for the bread, but like all bread that comes from the soil of earth, it too molds and goes back to earth. But those who came for the bread, once it is gone, have nothing left for which to stay. They look for other makers of bread, to the screens, to the agribusiness farms, to the war makers, to the destroyers who offer bread such as it is. Bread, but no sign. You're looking for me only because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you witnessed signs," said Jesus. But Jesus knew that eventually some would come for more than just the bread. Some would come for the sign that this existence is amazing. Matthew Fox, the theologian, said, "In the midst of trillions of galaxies, how can we ever be bored again?" A sign that you are royalty, a sign that this life is short and like a sunset in eastern Montana, gorgeous. Jesus knew that eventually some would come for more than just their fill of bread for the day. They would notice the sign that this world is in terrible peril and that they have been summoned to be warriors for its life. They would notice a sign from the heavens to counter the lies on the screens and the talking heads and the profiteers riding on the backs of the suffering. They would notice the sign that loosens their tongues so they would speak on behalf of the burning earth. They would notice the sign of possibility that there is enough with bread left over if we would only bear witness. They would notice the sign of awakening. We are awakening, one at a time, awakening, learning the truth, speaking it, awakening others. You are the sign, not the person next to you, you. Amen.
Stars, the silent eyes of Mars. Water running underground runs without a sound. It's how I want to be. Water. This world matters too much to me now. It's where I want to be. Water running through my veins. The secret still remains of how I came to be. Water. This world matters too much to me now.